Hello.
Hey, everyone.
Long time no talk to you.
No, we got trapped in the Lotus Casino. We thought we were only gone for like 5 minutes.
Yes.
And then we got our way out and everyone was like, the Demipod, where did you go?
We died. We fell down. We're in the labyrinth a little bit.
Yeah. We went to the underworld for a hot second. Mm-hmm. Not the greatest place. The lighting's kind of bad. We couldn't take very many selfies.
No.
Or pictures of anything.
Nico's cool,
not
though.
Not a great tourist attraction.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Okay, yeah. But real talk, I'm just gonna say this super quick, y'all. So sorry that we hadn't been recording regularly during the summer. We were both really busy. Also, I had a really bad bout of mental health. I'm just gonna remind all of you to please take care of yourself and your mental health. You are very important.
Yes, you are more important than anything.
I'm trying to think of...
Your mental health is the most important thing.
I'm trying to think of... What is Sierra Boggess's, like, quote that she always says? Oh, it's not the one that I'm thinking of. But I heard somewhere where it's, you are necessary, you are enough, and it is crazy how enough and necessary you are.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're back.
We're back. We're so excited.
Yes.
We have a very special episode planned for mm-hmm. this.
It's the musical episode.
It's the musical episode.
Well, we're not going to sing. We're going to talk about the musical. I'll clarify that.
Can you imagine if we sang the whole thing?
I have been singing.
Said we had to sing.
Yeah. I have been singing a role that is too high for me for 2 weeks straight now with no breaks. I'm not singing right now.
There's no singing. And it's late and I have little brothers who would run in and start singing with me. And I don't know if everyone's prepared for that.
Oh, that's cute, though. I would just have my roommate be angry with me, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're talking about the musical today.
Mm-hmm. But first, we're gonna do a little introduction. So if you're new to the podcast, my name is Hannah. I am an Athena Cabin kid. And yeah.
I'm Brayden. I'm in the Apollo Cabin. Also, I'll mention this right now because I have my Hogwarts shirt on. I'm also a Ravenclaw, but okay. Wrong fandom, but whatever. We love
I'm
Harry Potter, too. Yeah.
Yeah. We should just go through, like, a whole, like, if you were in the Hunger Games, what district would you be? What's your Hogwarts cabin? Middle school Hannah would have been all about this. Like, I could tell you
no.
everything.
I don't know what district I would be in. I never got really into the Hunger Games. Funnily enough, back when I fancied myself like a short video producer, I tried to start like a Hunger Games themed mini series that actually kind of got a little popular, but I only had one episode.
Oh my gosh!
It was called Tributes, and it was like every episode was like 4 minutes, and it was just like about someone and from the Hunger Games past who got pushed into the Hunger Games.
That's sick.
Yeah.
I love that. I also, this is so funny, I wrote a script to do a short film of the Hunger Games, like a fan fiction short film.
Yes.
When I was younger, too. So it's kind of funny that we were on the same, like,
yeah.
path.
Yeah. But if you are new to this episode, which, by the way, we seem to have a good amount of new people, because
Yay.
I haven't told you about this. So I get, like, weekly updates emails from the
really?
Service that we use to host our podcast, and we are close to about 500 subscribers.
Oh my gosh.
All together.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we're not even on iTunes, so yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
By the way, we are still trying to get on iTunes. The iTunes podcasting hosting service is just really messed up right now. They don't know why, and they're trying to fix it, and they've been trying to fix it for a long time.
I see.
But yeah. So we do seem to have a good amount of new people.
Well, yeah, and speaking about that, we also have, we are one follower away from having 50 followers on Twitter.
Really?
50 is a really nice number, so if one of you, hasn't followed us, or if you don't have a Twitter, like, make a Twitter just to follow us.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding, don't.
No, do it. Or we'll just buy
followers.
Yeah, But yeah, so if you don't know about, if you are, rule number one, Brayden can't talk. That's like, but also, we usually talk about, before we've talked about two chapters at a time per episode of the Percy Jackson series, but we're going to switch it up and make it four every episode now.
We want to really cruise through this book.
Because there are so many.
Longer content.
Yeah. Also, there are so many books that I think if we stuck with two chapters, we would be, like...
We'd be, like, 80 years old. And talking about, like, the Labyrinth. The Battle of the Labyrinth at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's kind of good that we're doing it four chapters.
Yes, of course.
But not this episode, because this episode is all about the musical.
Yes. But first, we've done our little introduction. I have a game for you, Brayden.
Yes, I love games.
So, I have a book, and I rearranged my bookshelves. That's the most Athena Cabin on-brand thing I've done, is I rearranged my bookshelves again. I do it about once a month. I don't know why. It's stressful, but it looks really nice. But anyway, I found
quick question.
A Mad Lib book of Percy Jackson Mad Lib.
Wait, like a brand, this is, like, official?
Yeah, it's a Mad Lib. It's Percy Jackson.
That's so cool. Also, yeah. Super quick question, how do you arrange your bookshelf?
This is a very important question. Brayden, let me tell you. side note real quick, my brother Caleb said, you really just don't talk about Percy Jackson.
No, we don't.
If you listen to any other podcast ever, because all they do is go off on tangents.
Oh my god, yeah.
Podcast thing.
Yeah.
But since you asked, I have three really tall bookshelves, and they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like, across. I've got a one bookshelf that is Percy Jackson and Harry Potter, and then kind of, like, just some other stuff on the bottom two shelves. Like, I've got plays, and I've got my Bible. And,
okay.
Like, stuff. That's just kind of, like, an extra thing. And then on the first bookshelf, I have all of my, like, YA. And on the top, I call it my girls in dresses shelf, because, like, you know how a lot of YA books have a girl looking away from the cover in a very fancy dress?
Yes. Or, yeah, or like, brand. Just, like, hands?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, this is my Girls in Fancy Dresses. I have the selection. I have so many copies of the selection series that they used to have their own shelf, but I had to rearrange and make room. So now I mixed them in with other authors, like Simon and To All the Boys I Loved Before. I kind of just mixed those in, and those are, like, YA books.
Yeah.
That aren't fantasy or dystopian. And then I've got, like, Hunger Games on the next shelf, and just, like, dark YA books.
Ooh.
And then on my last bookshelf, I've got a lot of decorative stuff. I have my entire, like, Shakespeare collection. I've got poetry. I've got classic books.
And we're back?
Hold on. Sorry, Brayden's computer doesn't like it when I get nerdy.
No.
I was saying my last bookshelf has, like, Great Gatsby, Handmaid's Tale, just kind of, like, classic-y books, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like, adult books, almost. And yeah, that's it.
Gotcha. I was asking that because I am a subscriber of organizing books by cover color.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, so I have my rainbow shelves. And
that's really cute, though.
Yes, it is.
I considered that.
But I've heard it's very controversial in the book sphere.
It does. I would never do that here, because then you've got genres mixed up, and, like, you've broken up series of books.
Well, I would never break up series. I have, like, series on, like, on, like, a different place. I have also, like, I have my main bookshelf, then I have my theater-related bookshelf, and then I have my gay stuff / nerd stuff.
I love that for you.
Yep.
I wouldn't put, The Lightning Thief next to An Absolutely Remarkable Thing or Leah on the Offbeat.
Gotcha.
I don't think.
Yeah. So you mentioned the Green Brothers. I just have to mention this. So they're coming to Minneapolis August 18th. Yes. All right. Back to the podcast.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, sorry, we just...
We were talking about Mad Libs.
Okay. Yeah, Mad Libs.
Play along at home. Brayden, are you ready?
Okay, what is the theme of this Mad Lib, by the way?
It's Percy Jackson. You'll find out later.
Oh, fine.
It's called Percy's Path. You're really going to know it when you hear it.
Okay.
Okay, so give me a noun. It can be a proper noun. It can be whatever you want.
A snaky snake.
Snaky... snake. Okay, and remember, you can play along at home. Give me... you've got a bunch of nouns in a row, so give me another noun.
Ooh, okay, I'm going to choose something randomly in my room. A blue cup.
Okay, I love the detailing. Another noun.
Oh, should I add those details, though? Because that's like adjective. Okay, whatever.
It's fine.
Okay, cool. Another noun. A wig.
Yes. Sorry, what?
A wig.
Wig. Oh, funny. The next word is snatched. Never
mind.
I'm kidding.
Another noun. Okay. I'm going to have this one... okay, hold on. Since we all know that Percy's a drug dealer... drugs.
No! Oh my gosh. Stop.
Drugs.
One last noun for right now.
One last noun? Okay. Yeah, a post-it note.
Post-it note. That's what our writing is on. Okay.
Fun.
Give me your... your favorite male celebrity. Who's your, like, male celebrity crush?
Currently, because I have many, no, actually, I'm going to choose Jeremy Renner because it was just announced that there's going to be a Hawkeye series.
There's a lot of series coming
Yes,
out.
But I'm mostly excited for the Hawkeye series because this series is going to include Kate Bishop, which is like the female Hawkeye, and this is like her getting trained in to be Hawkeye. And
Have
Kate
you heard
Bishop
about
is
female Thor, though.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We'll do a whole podcast on Marvel.
Yes.
Okay, give me a plural noun.
Tails.
Like on an animal?
Yes.
Or, like, a beetle to Bart.
like, on an animal.
Okay. Give me a noun.
Wow, so many nouns.
I know.
Book, since we were just talking about books.
I was waiting for that. Okay. Almost done. Give me a body part.
The left thigh.
Okay. Left thigh. This one's complicated. Give me a person in the room who is female. Maybe go for, like, a book character.
Okay. Should it be the person... okay, I'm trying to think of the last book that I read and think of a character from there. What was the last
female,
book that
though.
I read? What was the last book? Oh, I mean, I guess I read a play last. Oh, no, there was... no, that's a one-man show, though. So there's no female in it. It was one of the ones that we're doing next... year.
We're doing Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia, the character. Sophie. Sophie.
Okay, give me a noun.
Trash.
Your last noun. What did you say?
Trash.
Oh, me. Okay.
Also a plenty in my room. Yes.
I need three adjectives.
Three adjectives. Okay. We have spotted. We have...
okay.
Rashy?
Ew, what?
and we have, piercing.
Piercing. Okay.
Right, that's an adjective? Yeah, that can be.
No, give me a different one for the last one.
Dang it, okay.
Reading it, it's not gonna work.
Useful.
Okay, that's kind of wholesome.
Yeah.
With what this is. So the first sentence, are you ready?
I'm excited.
I'm going to do this uninterrupted.
Okay.
Okay, so it's just a story flow. Embrace yourselves for work that I think might be the most beautiful story you've ever heard.
We better get Rick Ryder on the phone then to be ready for this.
Okay.
Okay.
Look, I didn't want to be a snaky snake.
I didn't want to be a snaky snake.
Okay. I was just a 12-year-old Blue Cup minding his own business, trying to get by at boarding school when my wig got turned upside down.
Oh, that can happen.
My drug teacher tried to kill me.
Wait, hold on. My drug teacher? That shouldn't have been a noun.
My drug teacher.
Was it a noun? Wouldn't that be like an adjective?
My drug teacher.
Okay.
Tried to kill me. It's like an English teacher.
Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha.
My drug teacher tried to kill me. I found out my best friend was a post-it note. And most surprising of all, I discovered my real father was Jeremy Renner.
Yes!
Jeremy Renner, God of the Sea.
Make that canon.
Not only that, but I had to help save the tail of Olympus from the evil book, Kronos.
That evil book.
Enough to make my left thigh spin. Along the way, to complicate matters, I got a crush on my friend, Sophie, the daughter of Athena, goddess of trash.
Yes, of trash.
Yeah, life as a spotted blood is pretty dangerous, and most of the time it gets you killed in rashy ways. But if you're lucky, you might just help save useful civilization as we know it. And there you go. We do not own this Mad Lib. Please don't sue us, Mad Libs. But there you go.
I didn't want to be a snake. A snake.
Trash.
Make that canon. Jeremy Renner is now the god of the sea. That's canon now. I will not accept anything else. And Athena's the goddess of trash. Who is the Greek? I wonder if there is a Greek goddess of trash. Hold on. I'm going to look this up super quick in another thing.
Over some news really quick.
Okay.
The biggest news is that the Lightning Thief musical is closing, like, this week.
Aww.
In Boston. Its last show. So the show I went to was technically its last show, and I'll talk about that later. But then they added another week. A couple months ago, they added the Boston tour. So that meant, when I went there, that was Jarrell's last day, and Sarah Beth actually left a few days before I got there, but it was totally cool, because her understudy up until then was amazing. Like I said earlier, we almost have 50 followers on Twitter, and Brayden, as you mentioned, we are up to almost 500 subscribers, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And my last piece of news that I'm really excited about, and sorry if you didn't get to any news that you wanted to cover, Tyrant Tomb comes out in 64 days.
Ooh!
64 days.
Okay.
And I can't wait. So, Brayden, you have that long to catch up.
I need to read everything.
I'll just take Burning Maze and cut nouns and adjectives out and have you do a Mad Lib of the Burning Maze.
Oh, just the whole book?
Get you through it. Yeah, the whole book.
Great. I love that.
Okay, did you find what you were looking for?
No. And my internet's weird because I'm recording at the same time. My computer doesn't really like me that much when I'm recording.
We can tweet it later.
Okay, cool.
Oh, one thing before we get started. I mentioned this earlier on the last pod, but my friend who I saw the Lightning Thief with, she was in Greece right before. And she brought me back an owl, like a little paperweight owl.
Aww.
And it's got the coolest eyes. And she said it's like the mark of Athena. And I was like, I love you. And I also have some currency from Greece. I think it's just a euro. Yeah, it's a euro. But it's cool!
You can say it's a drachma. Just say it's a drachma.
Yeah, I'll say it's a drachma.
Yeah.
She was like, they don't have those anymore. And I said, well, go jump in a fountain and grab one.
Make one. Make one from the forges.
Yes.
You're not a true friend if you don't make one.
She is a true friend. She got me tickets to the show.
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty true friend. Okay, speaking of the show.
Yes. Musical episode.
Yes. And I want to clarify, so not only are we both theater majors.
Yes.
So, like, this is our specialty, but I am actually hold on. My phone is Ooh, okay, also, I should have maybe have said this before, but I have sushi being delivered, and so when it gets here, I need to pause and grab sushi, because I'm hungry.
I'm so jealous, okay.
But, anyway, but I in addition to us both being, theater majors, I'm also, like, a kind of professional theater critic, so, this is gonna be, so this is gonna be super fun.
It really is. Okay, so we should clarify, if you don't want to know spoilers about the musical, then maybe just go play the Mad Libs game and don't listen to the rest of this.
Yeah.
Or listen to the rest of this and just have it spoiled. I mean, if you ever get the chance to see it, I hope it goes on tour again or it stays in New York. Hashtag bring the bolt to Broadway.
Ooh, yes. Though I think
if you haven't seen it and you don't want to know secrets about it,
yeah,
then just know that we are going to be talking about some stuff that, you know, you don't hear in the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And also, like, speaking of, like, its future, I really hope that it gets licensed out. I really want. Because I have a theater company, and if it gets licensed out, I'm producing it. definitely producing it. And
hey, you know, Kristen Stokes is the dance captain and Annabeth Chase, so I could choreograph it, because, you know, I, like...
You are the choreographer.
Choreographed a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I could, you know, if you need an Annabeth, I could do that for you.
Yeah. Okay, so, oh my god, my computer, what are you doing? I think I've already kind of mentioned this. So I saw the show in Chicago, like one of its very... I think Chicago was its...
That was the first official date of tour. Yes. They had some shows in Fayetteville, but they weren't official.
Those were like previews. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like when it opened. And so I saw it, I believe it was a Saturday? No, a Sunday. It was a Sunday of the first weekend. So I saw like its very beginning. I think that's kind of funny that I saw the beginning and you saw the end.
Yeah, and I also saw it on Sunday. That's fun.
Look at us. But this wasn't the first time that I had seen it. I think I mentioned this on the podcast before, but I had, because originally before it was the full length musical, it was written as like an hour long school show by this company called Theater Works. And what they do is they write musicals based around things that kids like, and then have the shows and give them to the New York area, so that those kids have a chance to experience live theater. So that's how this started. And then after it closed in New York the first time with the Theater Works, they decided to go on like a school tour. And I saw it when it came to Red Wing, Minnesota.
Oh, that's crazy. I don't think I've heard this whole story.
Yeah. I saw it was a show that happened at like 11 a.m. And luckily, me being homeschooled, I'm like, hey, mom, can we go to this? And of course, my mom loves, like, was very supportive of the Percy Jackson series. I don't think she's read the entire series, but she definitely had read The Lightning Thief because she knew that I liked it. So her and I saw it together. And so I have seen this show from its very beginning, and has grown
really
a lot.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we're gonna go scene by scene, right? Is that our plan?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I mean, we could also, I was just thinking we could talk about the day and kind of the atmosphere of the theater, because I don't know about you, but when I went, the amount of people in Camp Half-Blood shirts made
yes.
me so happy.
Yes, and like I saw people in cosplay,
people
and
an orange t-shirt.
Yeah, I saw people in cosplay. Like, it was so great.
Yeah, it was awesome. There was this one group at my show, and they sat very, very close to the front, and they had those shirts with the cabins on the back.
Yes,
and they were just the most fun-looking group of people ever.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, I dressed up, but I had packed my Camp Half-Blood shirt. I was really like, oh, darn it.
Yeah,
I should
have
worn it.
Yeah, I wish, because I had a Camp Half-Blood shirt for the longest time, but it was, like, poorly made, so it started to flake off. And then, of course, we didn't have our Demipod shirts because we didn't have the podcast yet.
Yeah.
Because it came to St. Paul, and I was going to see it during when it came to St. Paul. However, that was during a very trying time, and I did not end up seeing it when it came to St. Paul.
And I'm broke.
Yeah. I came to the theater, and I was also surprised by the amount of age differences there were in the fans in the theater.
Absolutely.
Like, I thought I was going to be one of the oldest, because I definitely saw a lot of people that,
A lot of kids.
Yeah, a lot of kids. A lot of kids with their parents, because I sat next to a family whose kids were very, very interested in the series, but I also saw a lot of people my own age, and those were the ones that were mostly dressed up.
Exactly, yeah. I think the majority of people I saw in Camp Hapla t-shirts, I mean, I talked to a girl at Stage Door, and she's already graduated college.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was a lot of people, like, college age. And I even saw some, I think, like older, you know, mm-hmm. This is a show that really resonates with a lot of generations, because English teachers will read these books.
And, yeah.
Like, my grandpa is a huge fan of the books, too. He gave me the hardcover set that I have. He loved them.
Yeah.
And he was very curious about the show. So, I mean, it's really, like, the reach of these books in this musical is insane.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this the other day. I think if the movie series had been better...
And I just at like least
if
good.
If they had gone the same route as Harry Potter, they would have been as big as Harry Potter.
Oh yeah.
Like any other, it was just so. I turned to my friend and I said, "These are my people."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I wish I would have gone with a friend because I went alone. I ended up because it was during, when was it? It was like the end of our winter break.
Mm-hmm.
And I went alone I bused to Chicago by myself. Luckily, I was able, because one of our college friends, Anna Britt, also happened to just coincidentally see the same show at the same time, because she was coming back from New York. Yeah, because she was coming back from New York, and she taught me the trick of, like, if you go to New York, fly out of Chicago instead of flying out of Minneapolis, because it's way cheaper, and then just bus from Chicago to Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. So walked to the bus stop together because we also just happened to be on the same bus back, and which was right after the show, basically. And then we had like a little car trip all the way back down to school. Eventually I had a friend there, but like not during the show. Did you get any? Hold on. I think this is my sushi delivery guy calling me. Okay, we're going to pause the podcast super quick.
Sushi break.
Sushi break. All right, are we... Here we are. Okay, there we are. We're good.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hey, so I have sushi. Fun story. I got so much sushi that they included two chopsticks as they thought that two people were going to eat it. Nope, it's just me. Where did we leave off? We left off.
We were talking about the great...
So when you walk into the theater, the first thing that you see is this, like, blue curtain on the stage with the graffiti lightning bolt symbol on it.
The logo.
The logo, yeah. And also, like... So it gives off this very, like, do-it-yourself, like, graffiti junkyard feel. And the rest of the set reflects this. So I was thinking, like, as I was, like, walking down to grab my sushi, why is this the concept with a show that, like, has nothing to do with, like, being in a junkyard?
Yeah, I do love the look, though, it's, like, a very bare-bones kind of backdrop.
Yeah.
And graffitied kind of everywhere. And I think it's, I think it's kind of, like... It just shows the show, maybe.
Yeah. And I think also it kind of works with there being only 7 actors.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's just something that I had thought of, like, because that was the concept from day one. It was like, this is in, like, a junkyard and bare bones.
Yeah, and there aren't really any, like, real set pieces. I mean, there's a couch and a fridge, but they're used in multiple scenes and...
Yeah.
Like, all of our vehicles are just things we that you could find anywhere kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it also shows, I mean, a theme with the books is just kind of going with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just have to go with whatever you can.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably, like, we could go deep into which having a graffiti set means, but I don't.
Yeah.
Rockstar slide on his knees.
Yes.
And poses.
Yep.
And they, like, he waited for like a good 30 seconds before, and he just kind of went, look.
Yeah. And then because everyone's applauding so much.
Yeah.
But no, it's a great reveal.
It's great. It's the most, like, Percy thing.
Yeah.
You know? So prologue/day I got expelled. What's your like favorite bit of that moment seeing it on stage?
I really like when they're in the museum. Mm-hmm. And like I'm trying to think of the hold on, I'm chewing sushi. oops, almost dropped a chopstick. Okay. What's the lyric? Hold on, I'm like blanking on all the lyrics now. Great.
We were geeking out on ancient Greek.
Yeah.
At the New York Metropolitan Looking, Museum. Of
stopped
art.
By all the statues. Learned about the gods from Mr. Brunner and my substitute Mrs. Dodds. It was like in that section. I don't know. I just like the general like talking to the audience here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that.
I love the narration kind of style.
Yes. However, so, critic in me, and also this kind of aligns with this one other critic that I read reviewing the show, and it's just, oop, hello? Sorry, I suddenly just heard myself on the phone. Okay. Gotcha. But it's also, it's kind of weird if you haven't read the books of how this one part of the show is narration, and then the rest of it is,
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, if you haven't read the books, you wouldn't get that. They did that because of the first chapter in the book. So I understand it. I'm fine with it. But
my favorite part is, when he says, so if you think you are a half-blood, better get heading to the exits now.
Yeah.
Because I saw a tweet right before I went that said, what if I get up and leave when he says that? And I was just waiting for it. Or then he goes, but stick around and maybe you'll learn from me. Mm. The whole song's just got such... The whole show.
It's just bouncy.
This song in particular. The energy.
Yeah. Throughout
this whole entire thing, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
They have such good energy.
I'm trying to remember how... Because it's a smaller band that travels with this show. It's like 6 people?
Yeah, I only saw like 5 people.
Yeah, and they're up on the scaffolding too, which is cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
I love when the band's on stage.
Yeah.
That's why I loved the musical The Band's Visit so much, because they're literally on the stage.
I haven't seen that. I'm seeing the tour, though.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous show.
Yeah. But yeah, so the song ends with the Mrs. Dodds incident. Like, it's really just a rundown of chapter one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That pen sword... so cool. When he turns around and reveals that it's a sword, I'm like trying to figure out where he had it, like on his person.
Oh, he didn't have it on his person.
He didn't?
No, someone hands it to him.
Oh, sick. Okay.
They like do a really cool like switch off. Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool how they do the sword in this. It's very...
And I think now that I've seen it, I'll enjoy it a little bit more, because I'll be able to picture it in my head, but if it comes out on like shuffle, I'm like, okay, well, it's a lot of talking.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just so good, and I love the little like moments when they're not their characters. Like Annabeth and Luke in the museum are just two, like, they're not their characters, they're two students.
Annabeth is the bully girl. What's her name? Because they have a bit about that.
Oh, she is that Nancy?
She plays Nancy also.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because at least when I saw it, there was, like, they had a little bit where, like, she, like, tried to go at them.
Oh, oh my gosh, I didn't pick up on that. There's so much happening in every scene. You just want to watch everyone.
Yeah, the first scene is packed though, like especially packed. Yeah. Yeah.
Mrs. Dodds looked very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, such a great, great scene. But mm-hmm. I think the way he starts that is so great. And then as soon as Kristen Stokes.
Yeah, I like when I saw every single actor got an applause when they came out, and I really enjoyed that.
Ours didn't, and I wish it did. It got very, like, I started clapping, and then I realized no one else was, but I think everyone was just kind of mesmerized, which happens, but I mean, Chris got a lot of applause. I think Jarrell got some but, like, everyone else just kind of got, like, a little bit, because I think no one really wanted to interrupt the song.
Yeah.
But I, oh my gosh, I, like, cheered when she came out, and then no one else around me did anything, so I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
My friend's arm was probably bruised because I kept smacking it. I mean, as if she didn't see everyone up there.
Yeah.
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 And then that scene moves on to our next scene, which is a really just, they slide a couch on, mm-hmm. and it looks really cool. And Percy just slumps onto the couch.
Yeah. And we're at the Jackson residence.
Mm-hmm. Smelly Gabe.
Smelly Gabe. Funny. Speaking of Smelly Gabe, by the way, this is something that I found really interesting. So, mm-hmm. ooh, sorry. When I saw the show originally, the actor that played Grover doubled as Gabe, and they changed it to the actor playing, yeah. I thought it was interesting.
When you saw it in Chicago, it was...
No, like, the original, like, the hour-long school tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, like, they... And Mr. D was a character... Ooh, sorry. Ooh. Rice stuck in my throat. So, when that school tour did it, it was the actor that played Grover doubled as Gabe, and then the actor that played Luke doubled as Mr. D.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so they really switched it. I don't know why.
I wonder what.
Yeah. But that's something that I noticed immediately, where I was like, oh, hey, he's not Gabe. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's really... I didn't know that. Yeah. I mean, I've seen the one-hour version on YouTube, but not all of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, now that you say that, I think, yeah, I might remember the Gabe thing. I don't remember the Chiron thing, though. But that... Or the Mr.
No?
No, actually, it could have still worked.
Well, I think it's because I think they expanded Mr. D, so they needed Luke in some of those scenes. Because Mr. D in the original only came on, like, 3 times to do announcements. And that was Mr. D.
Oh, okay.
Mr. D didn't have a song or anything.
Well, now, and they give, you know, whoever plays Grover / Mr. D, they give more.
Yeah.
And it keeps the character of Luke a little bit more, you know, I think... meaningful that way, that he doesn't really play a bunch of the...
Oh, he does.
I mean, he still plays a bunch of characters, but now I feel like he plays more of the bad characters when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because he's Gabe.
Yeah.
And he's Aries.
Mm-hmm. That's Chiron. Hop on the tractor!
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but him coming in and yelling bean dip, and then Chris pulled out, like, some air fresheners... it all over.
Yeah,
it was a very sweet scene. And then, yeah,
it transitions into Strong.
Yes, Strong was very sweet.
Yes.
I just had chills the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, constant chills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very much... It's a theater production that doesn't rely on fancy things. It's just the bare bones, and I like that.
And Strong is just such a meaningful song, and I feel like this is one of the scenes where Chris really portrays, like, the kid.
Yeah.
Also very well. I mean, he does it so well throughout the entire show, but you see so many sides. You know, you remember being a kid and having a heart-to-heart with your parents.
Yeah.
And it's really sweet.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a lot of blue marshmallows. If he has to eat a blue marshmallow every night, oh my goodness.
Wait, does he eat a marshmallow? I thought they just had them on the stick. Does he eat one?
He ate one.
Oh, okay.
I tweeted today, I said, on our account, on the podcast account, I said if I could get a slip, I'd make it black out the Percy Jackson movies. Because I tried to Google a GIF.
Yeah.
I Googled Percy Jackson musical, and it gave me, instead of putting that together, it gave me clips from the Percy Jackson movies, and then only six the musical GIF.
Yay, six! I saw that in Chicago, too, but that's a whole other discussion.
Jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. So we go out of Strong, and we immediately see a goat butt. A goat butt.
Grover in a trash can.
Oh, was he in a... Oh, yeah, he's in a trash can. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And they do the little thing. It's like, oh, hey, it's a goat, and it's stuck in a trash can. And then they pull off the trash can. It's like, oh, nope, he's half goat.
Grover, you're a... There's a... my favorite line. There's a fury after you. No, you're a furry. It's just very funny, their banter. That scene, I was, like, really anxious to see how they would do the whole Minotaur scene. And it looks very good.
It looks so good. The Widowless Minotaur?
They gave me, like, goosebumps. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I know. They do it really well. I'm trying to remember what actor does the Minotaur. Is that...
I think it's Clarice. I think it's the same actress who plays Clarice.
Okay.
Which we should also talk about, because I didn't see Sarah Beth.
Oh, yeah, you didn't.
No, I saw... Oh, let me think. I'm going to have to look up her name, because I'm very, very, very bad with names. But she was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do believe that's who does it.
Okay.
And the way they kill Sally, like, it punches her. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I know, right? Yeah. The fight choreography is really good.
And they time it so well with the noises that it was just like a boom and a ah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's...
It hurt my heart.
Yeah. And... yeah, I'm trying to think if I... I mean, that scene... And then it's okay. Percy then faints. And we get... That uses this real song. Does that... The dreaming song.
Yeah.
Does it have a name?
Yeah.
I don't...
And Annabeth walks in.
With her what hair?
Huh?
With her what hair?
I'm sorry, what?
With her what hair?
Her hair?
With her what hair?
I have no idea. With her blonde hair. Oh, my God.
You do not even get our own podcast reference.
I was like, what was up with her hair in that scene? I thought it was just implied that Annabeth is blonde from now on.
Okay, gotcha.
She, you know, is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you don't remember, she has blonde hair.
Yes.
Blonde. Sorry, I was trying to look up who the actress I saw was.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
She signed my thing at Stage Store. I'm just really bad with names.
Yeah.
Speaking
of looking things up, going back, there is there's a Roman goddess, god of manure or feces, called it's either Stercutus or Sterculius.
Right.
Yeah, so fun fact, god of trash.
There not is. Athena.
Yep, not Athena. Well, now it is Athena. We made it canon.
It is Athena, goddess of trash.
Yes.
Which, as an Athena kid, I feel it in my soul. I am trash.
No, you're not. You're recycling. Upgrade yourself
a
little bit. Yeah.
I'm high quality trash.
Yeah.
I'm trash that you get paid for. If you turn in.
If you, in some areas.
I'm worth 10 cents at least.
Great. At least you're worth something.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
But yeah, so then we get that dream sequence, and then we are thrust into Camp Half-Blood.
Very, literally, that banner drop, and you're like there.
Yep.
And there's Mr. D.
Mr. D.
Very good quick change. No, wait. Well, he has a little bit of a talk with Annabeth and her. Oh, my gosh. She's so in character, and I just love her.
Yeah. Oh, she is. I mean, she was the original Annabeth from the school shows. Like, she...
She's been there since the beginning.
Like, she knows this show. Yeah. And we get another terrible day, which... Is, okay, is it Yorl, how you say his name? Or Jorl?
Jorel.
Okay. Now, I should also clarify. I think I might have used the wrong pronouns. I think they use they, them.
Really?
I think so.
Are you sure?
Because I... Have you seen their TED Talk?
The Twitter uses he.
Twitter uses he? Okay. Because...
Yeah.
So, they have, I'll use they just in case, but they have a TED Talk about not feeling like they fit into the gender binary.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I mean, the Twitter has said, like, on their thing, they said he and him. I haven't seen the TED Talk.
Oh, it's a good TED Talk, because he's also a poet, and so he, like, it's all in verse and everything.
Wow.
It's
wow,
really
okay.
Cool. Yeah. Let me just look this up super quick. I don't want to use the wrong...
Pronouns are important, so yes.
Yes, let me look this up, because I don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah, anyways, while you're looking it up, that scene, so great.
Yes. Their high kick?
That high kick, I want to get a gif of me trying to do it, because it's almost like a fuete for my dancers out there. It's a down and then turn around and up.
Yeah.
So it's kicked out and then up. And it's very sick.
Yes.
And I love it. There's gifs of it somewhere.
I'm glad.
Oh my gosh. I can't find the actress's name. Can I feel bad?
Go on to the Lightning Thief website.
I found it. Her name is... T. Siobhan Stewart is Twitter.
Okay.
Very, very talented.
Sweet. I'll go on to their website.
While you're looking it up, I'm gonna keep talking about Another Terrible Day.
Okay.
So good. All the characters who come on, Katie Gardner, so funny. The pencil scene with the pencil being sharpened.
Yes.
And then there was like a stray pencil in the audience that night, and someone like caught it. The pencil flew, and I was very worried about someone, like, getting stabbed. But I think everyone is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be so awesome to catch. I wish I had sat very close, but my seats are really good. There are a lot of empty seats in front of me, which kind of sucked. I was like, I'm so sorry that, like, the theater is not sold out.
Uh-huh.
I could have... The people in front of me moved up, but I feel bad doing that, so I didn't. I mean... It was full for, like, the first 15 rows.
Good.
But then it kind of trickled off. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, so, they do use he, him. Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
Cool.
Got it. Pronouns are important.
Yeah.
Yes. Another terrible day.
Yes. So I'm on his website right now, and I just want to say this. So he just graduated college before going on to this tour.
Yeah. I know.
And his honors thesis, because he only studied musical theater, but he has an honor thesis, which is he starred in a reading of it called Pussy Up, a one-act show exploring the effects of heteronormativity and microaggressions in LGBTQIA plus youth.
Wow.
And yeah. I love that.
Well.
Okay. Go you. Okay.
What a man.
Yes. Wow. Cool. Okay. Anyway, so we have another terrible day. And can I be completely honest?
Mm-hmm.
This is my least favorite song from the show.
Hmm.
I don't like it. And I still haven't been able to figure out why I don't like it. I think it's just, like, I don't care enough about Mr. D to have for him having a whole song. Like, it feels like, oh, he's singing now. Are we supposed to care about him? Oh, nope, he disappears later. Okay, cool. I understand why the song is there to set up Camp Half-Blood really well, because it does. So I understand why, but yeah, it's my least favorite song. I have to admit that. I enjoyed it, They performed the hell out of it. But, like, yeah.
Yeah, Gerald is so good. I think, yeah, you're right. It's an introduction song. I can't really think of any other way they could have introduced it, though. Because, like, that's the books, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But oh well. So then after...
I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's a very fun song.
Out of all the songs in the show, it's not my favorite. But I also really, really love the campfire song, and I know a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Like, for a lot of people, campfire song is, like, on the bottom of their list.
I can see that. It's towards the bottom for me, but not, like, at the bottom.
But it's not like you hate it.
No. We'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah.
So,
Jarrell does amazing.
Yes. So, after that, is that when Chiron is reintroduced?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's also the song where you find out Chiron's a horse. the way he walks is so
I love
funny.
That, yes.
He was saying at Stage Door, though, that, like, the tail hurts his back, and I felt really no!
Wait, does it really? Aww.
He said it's just a lot.
Poor dude. Well, he also is, like, sticking out his butt out a lot. I noticed that.
Yeah, well, and the way he's jumping can't be fun to do all the time.
Yeah. Like, he commits.
Yeah, he commits. Actors are superhuman.
Yes. And we should know, because we're actors.
Yes.
So with the Chiron and everything, Mr. D kind of goes away, and we immediately go into their sign, right? Right. It's been a while since I saw the show, as you can tell.
I just saw it.
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm quiet. I was taking a drink of water because hydration is important.
Exactly. Hydrate or dihydrate.
You talked about how we were actors, and I just started thinking about how in Silly Little Bird, how much water we drank. Because we were supposed to just be drinking, like, straight vodka the entire time.
Oh, you don't even know how much water I drank.
You had to chug it. I mean,
I had to chug a whole bottle.
But I'm not, like, a water drinker. I stick to coffee, so yeah. I have to force myself to drink water, so that's the most water I've ever drank, like, collectively.
Oh, yeah, we had a full-on, like, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf moment, where, like, we were drinking so much that we had to find exits to, like, go off and pee.
Yep.
Speaking of theater, going back to the musical.
What's this episode about? What's this podcast?
I don't know. So, we go into their sign. Chiron. This is weird. I think the sign is also one of my favorite songs.
Really?
I think it is. Like,
I like the ending with Luke.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big fan of the beginning.
Oh, I like the
beginning. Listening to it, though.
Yeah.
Watching it, I loved everything.
Yeah.
But listening to it, like, it might not be one of the songs I stick to. Maybe it's just because I want to be Annabeth Chase with the burning passion, so I always, like, listen to hers.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like that it's a little simple, and it's kind of like, I wish they would have done, like, rounds with it, but oh well. But yeah, and then we're introduced to Luke, and Luke sets, and we're, of course, everybody.
Brayden,
what?
If you want, we could do a cover of the song and do rounds with it.
All right.
collective instruments, our band.
Our band, yeah. What do we name our band again?
I don't even remember.
Something about Fates, right? The Shrieking...
It was a joke we made.
Yes. But we tweeted about it, right? Well, you tweeted about it.
Yeah.
We should be able to find it.
I think I said listen to the podcast to find out what we were named.
Gotcha.
Listen to our old podcast.
Yep, yeah, so... Remind us what our band's name is.
Know what our band name is, listen to episode 5.
Yeah. Then we get introduced to Luke, and I just love when Luke enters, because I looked around the theater, and, like, everyone, like, kind of shifted forward in their seats, because they were like, oh, there he is!
Yeah.
I love that.
I kind of want to go back, and, like, if I could erase my memory for just a little bit and watch the show without knowing the books, would I be shocked that it's Luke? I think I would, because I remember being pretty I mean, I read the books when I was 10.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, oh no, betrayed by a friend, it's Luke.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what my reaction was. I think it was pretty shocked as well. Yeah, I think so.
It hits really hard.
Yeah.
The first time.
And, like, you want to like Luke, especially since Luke is hot.
He's so, well, yeah, that. And, you feel so bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading this fan fiction. It's really good. It tells the stories from Annabeth's perspective.
Okay.
It's called, I'll find the author while we're, talking, but, why did I go to YouTube? I'm so stupid. It goes over all the books. So this author is, she's on the fifth story. And it's the exact, it's the book, but from Annabeth's perspective. So then I've been reading, like, about Luke and Annabeth's relationship, and that's her only family.
Yeah.
It's by Shiki. So Shiiki on Archive of Our Own. It's the Daughter of Wisdom series.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Gotcha. I'll look
up. I recommend reading it. But yeah. And like, even reading back, I mean, what book is it where they go to his house and his mom is just, his mom.
Oh, yeah. What book is that?
I think it's Titan's Curse, because he's with Talia.
Yes.
And Annabeth's not there. And no. The burnt cookies, she makes cookies for him every day, and they're, like, moldy and burnt, because she keeps waiting for him to come home.
Yeah.
And it's just, she went crazy, mostly because of, Luke's dad, like,
Hermes, yeah.
Hermes. And then there's this whole dynamic when, like, Luke goes bad, Hermes blames Annabeth, Annabeth blames him. Because I don't know if you've read the short story, it's the one where Percy and Annabeth do, it's the Staff of Hermes is what it's called, and Percy and Annabeth have to go find it, and then he rewards them with a date to Paris. It's right before Lost Hero happens, like,
okay,
the 3 month anniversary.
Yeah.
And, like, Hermes yells at Annabeth for a second. He, like, won't acknowledge that she's there.
Gotcha.
Because he blames Luke on her for not being a better friend.
Gotcha.
Which is, his character has just got, and Rob Rokicki, who wrote the show, he did a Q&A on Twitter, and they said, if you could talk to any character, who would it be? And he said, Luke or Rachel, and I'd just be like, listen to them.
Yeah.
Because they are children who are hurting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Love Luke.
Poor
Luke.
For him. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so we have their sign and everything. We see Luke. What happens next?
Put you in your place.
Oh, does it go right into that?
No.
Okay, what happens?
There's a little bit, I believe there's, like, character interaction, and then, yeah, there's a lot of character.
Oh, yeah, because we're introduced to Annabeth officially.
Yes.
And that's where they have the,
They talk about capture the flag.
Yeah. Because it was in this character interaction is where the, like, well, who's your dad? My dad is a teacher. My mom is the god.
Yeah.
That's where that part is.
The way she looks at him, oh, wait, is that when he gets the sword, too? And she's like, that's not a lightsaber, because he's making lightsaber noises.
Yes.
That's my favorite part of the show, I think, is when he's making lightsaber noises with the sword, and she's like, not a lightsaber.
Yeah. That's not how we treat
Luke. Isn't it?
What?
I believe as soon as Luke talks to him about capture the flag, gives him a sword.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yep. And then we go in. And then we go in.
Oh. We don't really care.
Yeah. And then we go into Put You in Your Place, which is, this song.
They do that slow-mo part where the lights are flashing, and they're like, I think someone's bending backwards and the sword's going over them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. No, yeah, they really go all out for Put You in Your Place. Also, just the two actors are just screlting their brains out, and it's so good.
Yes.
And also, the actor that plays Chiron is in Pigtails, and I also very much appreciate that.
Oh my gosh, that was the funniest thing ever. It reminded me of in Be More Chill in,
We don't talk about that show. We don't talk about the, we don't talk about that show. I have strong opinions about that show.
Okay. Anyway, I'll say it though. George Salazar wears a wig in Smartphone Hour.
Oh yeah, all don't all the guys do?
Yeah, yeah. All the guys are on stage in wigs.
And yeah.
It's funny.
Speaking of George Salazar, did you know that he has a YouTube channel now? And he like does YouTube?
No, I've been off of social media until recently.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he does.
My baby boy!
And so does Anthony Ramos from Hamilton, by the way. I found this out.
I love him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I want to know. Okay. And put you in your place. That moment where the lights are strobing and the music, like, slows down and it's just slow-mo fighting is probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen, ever.
Yeah. No, it's, and then just fighting, and then suddenly Percy's in the bathroom.
The way he wheels the toilet off.
Yes.
He's just chilling.
He's just like, okay, I'm just gonna stay out of trouble. It's fine. And then Clarice comes in, and they have their little moment.
The toilet paper leaf blower.
I love how they have that instead of the water. I think that's a really good alternative to the water in the show.
Because well, it works with the like bare bones theme.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. And also with because you can light toilet paper and it'll be like kind of translucent, like kind of like water is.
Yeah, I think the lighting in this show is astounding.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who the lighting designer is because she.
My Playbill is in a frame.
Okay, because they have a Tony for lighting design.
They've done a lot.
Yeah.
I was looking at their credits, and they've got some pretty big name shows.
Yeah, let me look this person up, because
you're looking it up. I love how when Annabeth and Grover come back, and Luke, Annabeth's like, "What happened?" And Percy goes, "I had an accident." And Luke calls him the Supreme Lord of the Bathroom.
Yes.
I was so happy.
Yes. Okay, hold on. I'm looking at a Lightning Thief musical. Here we are. Pictures. Casting creative. Here we are. Lighting designed by David Lander. David Lander. Yes. Oh! That's who you saw as Clarice.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I love that. More people of color. I love it.
I know! This show is so inclusive.
I love it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes,
yes. Yes, yes, yes. Take notes,
Yes. Everyone else. Exactly. David Lander, what did he win his Tony for? David Lander.
Bring the Bolt to Broadway. So follow... Oh no, we lost a follower. We're down to 48.
Oh no.
Rip. So two people, please follow us. And also while you're at it, tweet hashtag bring the bolt to Broadway.
Yeah.
Because I am sad it's done. And my brother, who's 12, told me he hated me because I was without him.
Aww.
He apologized after I gave him a playbill and buttons that I bought for him.
Aww.
But I want him to be able to see it someday, so if we could, like, bring it back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, it's not the end of it.
No, it's not.
What are you in his... hold on. Tony. He won Tony for... why...
take this time in the podcast to take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. Remember, self-care is very important.
Yes.
And we love you all.
Yes. Oh no, he didn't win a Tony. He's only been nominated. Okay, I thought he won
something. That's still something.
Yeah, he's been nominated twice. For 2011 for Bengal Tiger at the full name of the play? Bengal Tiger at something, and also then in 2009 for 33 variations. Okay.
Sick.
Oh, hey, he did the Lighting for Torch song, the most recent revival. Fun. Anyway, sorry. We have end of the bathroom scene, and then that goes into campfire, right?
Yes. Campfire song. So we've got some character changes, some quick changes. The quick changes in the show, they're not the fastest, but, I mean, not all of them are super fast, but they're still impressive.
Yes.
I mean, you have to get in a different mind space for each character, and it just kind of blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. I just love Clarice going to
Selena Beauregard.
I almost said Heidi Blickenstaff. I'm like, that's not the right person.
Katie Gardner.
Yes. Okay. Wait, Heidi Blickenstaff. Why did I think? that's an actor's name, not a character's name. Not even an actor in the show.
You guys, it's like almost 11.
Also, I'm doing a show that she originated right now, so like she's just constantly on my mind. Yeah.
My candle. I've got a candle lit, and it's making me tired. And I just had tea.
Ooh.
So my brain's in okay.
So yeah. Anyway, we have the campfire. Let's go through this. We have the campfire.
My favorite song.
Really?
One of my favorites.
I was gonna say. I thought I knew what your favorite song was.
Well, it's not my absolute favorite, but it's one of them.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. It's a little too simple for me, but whatever. Like, it fits
love,
it.
As a dancer, that they're doing ballet, but, like, mostly,
gotcha.
A lot of their moves are ballet moves.
Okay. I like that.
If you're watching their footwork, it's not, like, crisp ballet, but it's got a very ballet feel to it, and they're doing it kind of aggressively and like slumped, like they're, you know, angry and rebellious.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
Yeah. So then, at the campfire scene is when Percy finally gets a sign. Right? Right. Yeah.
That's when the stars align
into
over him, which is different than the book.
Yeah, because it's
where's
like a
the movie, which is why my head is
well I get why they did it, but I'm kind of sad that we didn't get to actually see the sign. It's just like they just pointed over the audience,
so they kept looking, and I kid you not, everyone in the audience including myself turned around.
I know, did
they project it?
Yeah, no, I wish they would have done something, but oh well. I get what they were doing. So, we have that scene, and then we go immediately back into Mr. D's office,
nope.
Right? Nope.
Mr. D and then Oracle.
Yep, Mr. D, then Oracle. Yeah.
And Mr. D is talking about turning him into a dolphin, which is in the book!
In the book! A lot of, they really stayed close to the book, which I very much appreciate.
I used to put a sticky note in my book for each thing that the musical got right, but up until now, I had read it without seeing the musical, so I'm going to have to go back and add a lot more sticky notes.
I was going to say, that's also going to be a lot of sticky notes.
Yeah.
I love how they do the Oracle. It's my favorite costume in the show.
I agree.
Like, I love how it's just, like, the big dress they have. The actor who plays Sally Jackson as the Oracle.
And then people reaching
yes.
the costume.
Yes, they have, like, people, like, inside the dress with her. And I was trying to figure out, like, how many people are in there, and I think it's either two or three. And they're just, like, making it go wavy, and I love it. And the lighting's really cool.
I was a little lit. I don't want to be, like, critical of the show just because I love it so much, but the transition from it after, like, how cool it was.
Yeah.
It's a very smooth transition, but she just kind of, like, leaves.
Yeah, she just kind of walks off. Yeah, I get that.
They can't do this, but I kind of would have loved it if she, like, floated up.
They can't do that. I would have loved it if she, like, fell back or something. They could have done, like, a fallback to make, like, her disappear. Or something. Yeah. But oh well. Like, it's fine.
But it's still one of the coolest parts.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, elevated.
Yes.
But then that transitions to be where Annabeth and Luke are sitting. And Grover.
Oh, yeah.
Or Luke and Grover.
Yep.
So that's who was underneath.
Gotcha.
because it transitions and it's them.
Hmm. And so there... Or
it's someone in the next scene. I'm not... It goes into Killer Quest.
No, it doesn't.
No.
We have Good Kid first.
We have what?
Good Kid. Right?
We do have Good Kid.
Right? That's the song's name?
Entirely honest, I forget Good Kid is a song sometimes. Because I was like, okay, now we're going into Killer Quest, and then Chris McCarroll started singing Six Schools in 6 Years, and I was like, wait, there's this song.
I know, it's a song that, like, it's kind of, yeah. Five. Yeah. No, it's also the first, like, new song that I heard, because they had Chris McCarroll record a single of it when they announced that it was coming back off Broadway. And it was like a year before, and I remember because I was a freshman, and like I was in my dorm, and I like went up to my roommate, and I'm like, oh my god, look, it's coming back, and he's like, yeah, cool.
I do remember seeing that and being like, they made Percy Jackson a musical? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That was my initial reaction to the musical, if I'm being entirely honest.
Oh, gotcha. I was just happy because it came up. How I found it is it came up on my Facebook as like, this is a page you might like. And it was the page for the musical. And then immediately, like, I had been following the page, like, since the school days, the school show days. So when they changed everything to be the off-Broadway musical because they used the same page, they just, like, changed all the pictures. I'm just like, wait, something's happening.
Well, and I remember I didn't even get to the musical until you told me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I was very nervous. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
I didn't want to listen to it, and you said, no, you have to.
I made you. Was that during Bird, or was that during Music Man?
It was Bird. Okay. So I didn't start listening to this musical. I haven't listened to it for a full year. It hasn't been a year.
Gotcha.
I started listening in November.
Gotcha. Because I started listening right when it came out, and like, mm-hmm. So fun story, so they released like the first 5 tracks on SoundCloud before they release the full album, but I don't know how this happened, but even though the only 5 tracks were uploaded or like available, like they had already uploaded the full album, they just like hadn't released it yet. Mm-hmm. But on my phone one day something happened and I had access to the whole album.
Wow.
So I listened to the whole album. I don't know how. It was like a month before the album was released.
Way to go, Brayden.
So like, I was one of the first people to listen to the album, I guess.
You hacked the system.
Exactly. I hacked the system. I don't know how. It just like was a weird thing that happened on my phone one day. Yeah, because that was almost, that was 2 summers ago. Yeah.
It was a while ago.
Yeah. So anyway, so we have Good Kid.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's also one of the only times where it was like all the actors get a break backstage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then
they're singing.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they're singing backstage. Are they backstage? Yeah. Oh no, yeah, they're backstage. Then we have a little scene.
It's very waving through a window.
It is. Oh
it's
yeah.
Got that same energy. The guy behind me kept saying that it was, my friends and I kept laughing about this, because he said it over and over, I think he had a little bit to drink, but he kept saying, this is just like a mix between Jesus Christ Superstar and Dear Evan Hansen, it's a rock opera. He kept saying rock opera.
I mean, not really.
Like, he kept saying it over and over and over, and it was just really funny.
Okay.
I'm sorry if he listens to the pod, but I also, he made my night, he was very funny.
Nice.
But yeah, it's just got this great, the lighting too, it makes it look like you were underwater.
Yeah. Oh, the lighting in this show is so good.
It's amazing.
Yes. Anyway, so after that, we have a little scene between Percy and Luke, right? And Luke
yes.
convinces him to go on the quest. And then we have Killer Quest.
Yes.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And so, when... You know, in Killer Quest, Kristen Stokes belts that high G.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she didn't start there, and I was like, oh, but then she built to it.
Nice.
And I yelped. It was the greatest thing ever.
Yes. Kristen. Oh, I love it. Yeah. This is one of my favorite songs, I think, except for one rhyme that they use that bothers me. It's the, we're half gods, not gods, but semi, don't go halfway, it's all not, wait, no, we're, sorry,
we're half, lads, we're half-blood, not gods,
gods, but demi, don't go halfway, we're not,
we're all not semi.
Thank you. I hate that rhyme so much. I cringe every time that I listen to it because they use demi as its own word, but it's not a word, it's a prefix. And it makes me really, but like, it makes me, no, that's not how you use it. You put it in front of a word, you don't use it as its own word. And they're like, no, it makes me mad.
Demi is half in French,
but like, it,
but I see where you're coming from.
It's not how we use it. That's, and like, it may have an origin, but like, it's not how.
No, you're, yeah, I say, I'm,
it's very frustrating. Right? Yes.
Ooh, so except that lightning. Oh, ooh. No, wait, that's an ambulance.
Oh. But yeah, I like that song except for that one rhyme. That's why it's not like in my top three. It's like maybe
I'm
four.
Gonna, when we're, you know, driving to Dear Hank and John, I'm gonna play it and then sing that line especially loud.
Wonderful, thank you. Love it.
But yeah, and I, so Act One. Because that's the end of Act 1.
Yeah.
It's very short. The show is still not... It's not a long show.
No, it's not long. However, I think it's also really interesting because a lot of shows, their Act 1 is longer than their Act 2. Mm-hmm. These two acts are pretty... the same size and length. Like, they're pretty equal.
Yeah, I'd say they're pretty equal.
Yeah.
I think it also feels like it goes by so fast because of their incredible energy.
Yeah. No, they... and they really clip through it.
Yeah.
So here's a question. Do you think, so the, where to break a show into its two acts is very, a very big discussion when you're writing a show. Like, for example, so I'm in a musical called Freaky Friday right now, and I hate where the act break is. I hate it. It's a really bad break. Do you think breaking the show where they did is the right choice?
I say yeah, because it's right before the quest, so it's a nice, because it's right, you know, there's the Percy finding, figuring everything out.
Yeah.
And then the quest.
Okay.
When it, and I feel like that's kind of how the book feels, too.
Yeah. So, like, it feels, because thinking back on, like, reading the book, it's not the halfway point of the book.
It's not, by no means.
Yeah.
It's, like, a good third, I'd say.
Yeah, I would say so.
But I don't know where else they could have ended. Like, do you think they should have ended somewhere else?
Okay, so this is, I have a theory, because my issue where they put the act break is I think it's a good, I think they should have made the act, both of the acts, a little bit longer and put some of the things in Act 2 in Act 1 so that we can get more of what's in the book during the Act 2 time.
Okay, so what I think should have, like, if they were to add more content.
Yes.
Is
so, like,
okay.
My thing is, like, the Tree on a Hill should have been in Act 1, I think, when they were at the camp. I also think you're gonna hate me, I'm forgetting the song name.
Migrant Land?
Thank you. Should have been in Act 1. And then she should have had another song in Act 2. Because that's, like, her arc, and it, like, should have happened in Act 1, but whatever.
So, maybe who could bring back the song Take the Weight and put it in Act 2 and put My Grand Plan in Act 1.
I like that.
Because Take the Weight is... I'm bumping the songs from the actual musical down, and that's my number one favorite song.
Ooh, okay.
That they've written. Did you know he also wrote a Nico song?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to hear it. Baby boy Nico.
Yeah. Because, like, the thing is, like, I would have just liked, and then maybe instead of, okay, I just want
a 5-hour long show that is word for word the book.
Basically. But also, like, I think they should have also maybe gotten into the quest during Act 1, had their first run-in with a monster, have it be, like, super unsettling, then Act 1 ending with Good Kid.
I do see.
Because Good, yeah. I think Good Kid is a, would be a really good Act Breaker song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's because I've thought about this so much because I don't know, because it's not that I hate where the act break is in the show. It's just, like, I just wish there was more because it is a shorter show.
Yeah.
Like,
I think the show is wonderful. Like, yeah. We're not trying to say the show's bad.
No, not at all.
We're just saying we want more.
Yeah, I want more. Also, I'm too critical of shows because it's my job. Yeah. Anywho, is only a...
more.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of break, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about Act 2.
Absolutely.
Oh, I just burped. All right.
Jordan Peele's Us underneath it.
I saw it. I haven't watched that yet. Oh, is it recording?
It looks very scary.
Okay, I think we're recording again. Okay. We're recording. I don't know if you heard any of the conversation, but we were talking about the Cats trailer, which I am obsessed with and I hate so much.
Bad that it's gonna be good.
Like, I'm of course going to go see it.
Oh,
of course.
The choreography looks amazing. I'm not missing the choreography.
Oh yeah. And, like, movie musicals are what got me into shows in general, so now that, like, movie musicals are making a surge again, like, of course I'm gonna go support it. Like, of course.
Yeah.
But, like,
I have feelings about things that I won't go into because I could, like, get yelled at.
But, like, also, I'm interested because it looks like they might be adding actually a story to it.
I've never seen Cats, so I really don't.
There's no story. There's no plot. It's just, look at all these cats. Yeah.
Great. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. No, I don't want to. Cool, go away. Okay, cool. Anywhoozle. So, we're back after talking about Cats to Act 2. And we start out with...
A bus.
What?
We ruin a perfectly good bus.
Mm-hmm. And we start off with a bang.
Ooh!
Hey! I love the confetti cannons. I love them. I love confetti cannons so much.
So good.
Mm-hmm. So.
It made me jump.
Yeah.
I jumped a good foot out of my chair.
Yeah. I wish I was sat close, because I was up in the balcony, and I wish I was closer to, like, catch a piece of the confetti.
Yeah.
And I'm sad that I wasn't, because I got the cheap seats. But oh well.
Mm-hmm. I was in the orchestra, and I didn't catch it, because I was far back.
Gotcha. Okay.
So,
but yeah, so that's how the Act 1 begins. And then,
so it's like you look at our troop and they're surrounded by the Fates, and it's just really funny.
Yeah.
But also kind of terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Because they're all puppets, and, like, it's just funny, and I like it. And a lot of, like, noise.
Agreed, it's funny and I like it.
Yeah. So they blow up the bus and we go into
Los Angeles.
Yep. And we go into What's the song called?
Lost in the Woods.
Lost in the Woods, yes. Which I think it might be my second favorite song in the show.
Also a great song.
It is a great song. I like the song. And they're just lost in the woods, and then they meet a squirrel. And then they get lost in the woods still. Ah, whoops.
The squirrel is hysterical.
Yeah. The squirrel part. I love the, yeah. The squirrel. And we get led to a cabin in the woods, or like a shop. Auntie M. We have a
children
whole...
come inside.
And I just love how Chiron is Medusa. Yeah, I love that because I'm like, oh, hey, that's funny. I like that.
So funny.
And they have the statues, which were you close enough to see, like, if the people being the statues had shakers?
Shakers? What do you mean?
So, like, when I originally saw the school tour, how they did, like, the snake hissing noises is that the people that were the statues had their hands behind their back and they had, like, maraca shaker things and would, like, shake them.
No, I don't think they did because they were posed.
Oh, no.
But now they have, you know, an orchestra.
Yeah. Dang it, that makes me sad. But oh well.
I mean, they did shake, so maybe they had something on them.
Okay. Gotcha. So, yeah, and then the Medusa reveal is great, the fight, and then my favorite, just visual, is just Medusa's head rolling out. It's great.
It's so good. It's a very, very great.
Yeah.
All the, like, transitions to stuff like that are so good.
Yeah. So... computer. I know I have
and
updates.
That scene really followed the book very well.
Yes. Yes.
And then the way Percy and Annabeth start bickering about it right afterwards is so in character and just perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Grover leaves, of course. And then we have what song?
My Grand Plan.
My Grand Plan.
I don't think I breathed that whole time. Like, I just forgot how.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. And the little speech she gives right before it, her, like, little monologue in their conversation, it's just so sad.
Yeah, I like how she mentions the hat, because I'm like, I wasn't sure if it existed in the musical world, but when they mention it...
She puts it on and then walks directly off stage at one point.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was like, haha, I see what you did there.
Yeah. But I think also after this, the song happens and they send the head to Mount Olympus by putting it into the fridge freezer.
We are impertinent.
We are impertinent.
My friend's dad, just read the book right before we went and he didn't hear the line right. So he kept changing it. We kept telling him it was, we are impertinent. But he kept saying, like, we are inevitable, we are inconceivable, and stuff like that. Like, he kept, like, teasing us with that. It was really funny. Just all the words we could come up with that weren't impertinent.
Yeah. No. We are impertinent. And
it's
then...
very funny. Grover... And then I love how that comes back at the end, too.
Yeah. Okay, so then Grover comes back with the tickets... from the squirrel. By the way, I like how it's a squirrel instead of a poodle. I do like that. Instead of how it was in the book.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Squirrels are funny. And then we go into Drive, right? Yeah, Drive.
Yes. Which is one of, I think, Killer Quest, Lost, and Drive are all very, very, very up in my, like, favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Like, ensemble-wise, I think solos, I kind of separate.
Mm. Okay, gotcha.
But they're trio songs, and I think that's why they're so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also, get a glimpse of, like, all the other quests, or, like, adventures that happen as they're going across with Ares.
Laugh on the tractor.
Laugh on the tractor. But I will admit, this song was not in the original school show, and it was actually...
No, I know.
And I kind of like that other song better, I will admit. I'm sad that they replaced it, but I see why, because that other song took them all the way down to the underworld.
And is that the one where they're on the scooter and Percy and Annabeth
are called, I think it's called In the Same Boat.
Yes, I've heard it, it's great.
Yes, it's a good song, look it up. But yeah, I mean, I think I kind of like that song better, but I get why they changed it so that they had a longer journey to go. Because, of course...
They gave you more content.
I know, they gave you more content. That's not the content I wanted. I am picky. I don't know what I want. So, we end the song with them on a bus that they just won't blow up this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very good. And the Aries part with the damn jokes are so good.
I love that little Easter egg. I love it. Have you seen... I don't remember what interview it was, but the book writer, Joe Trace, showed his copy of The Lightning Thief. It is so, like, marked up.
Mine's pretty bad.
Yeah, but it's worse than yours.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got mine signed, by the way.
Ooh, fun.
So now it's super special.
Aw, I like that.
I had them sign the... not the cover, because the movie.
Yeah. Just remove the cover already. Or you get like a book sleeve.
Yeah, I'm debating it.
Yeah. So, then we are on the bus, and then I actually changed my mind. This next song is my second favorite. Triana Hill. I love Triana Hill.
I love when Annabeth's asleep and she goes, "Mom, I can't go to the movies. I have a quest and homework."
Yeah.
Tell me about Triana Hill and why you love it so much.
I just love it's super simple, and they actually changed it a lot from the school production. It was longer in the school production. And like they used like flashbacks, and so they made it longer by Grover singing both in the past and in the present. But like it changed, but that like made it, they made it like change the rhythm of it. And like, so when they're in the past, like watching Talia get beaten up, like it changes the rhythm and it like kind of segments the song. So I like this version better, where it's all very coherent and very similar and everything.
And I love what's going on in the background with, like, you see Annabeth, Luke, and Talia, and the way that they're standing and, like, reenacting the scene as Grover's down there singing to Percy.
Yeah.
It's just such a powerful image.
And it's pretty.
And, like, when they stand, Talia standing up front, and then Luke and Annabeth standing back-to-back behind her.
Yeah.
It's like, and then Grover and Percy below them. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun fact, I was... So I almost sent in a video audition to be a part of the tour. I missed the date, but I was gonna sing Triana Hill because like, I wasn't gonna be Luke. I don't have the vocal chops to be Luke, but I could like I could do Grover. So I was gonna sing Triana Hill. Got
you
to
sing it for juries.
I thought about it. Yeah. So maybe next year, not next year. Mm-hmm. In a month. Anyway, so, Triana Hill happens. I'm trying to think. Then we go to... Where do we go after that?
I do believe it's DOA. No, this Weirdest Dream Reprise. Or no.
Yes!
Weirdest Dream Reprise is in there somewhere. It might be before Trio. It's before.
Oh, it's before. Yeah, because Grover wakes him up. Yes.
I don't really count that as a song.
No.
But it is cool the way, because the way it is on stage is they have, so when they're in the bus and stuff like that, they've got these kind of, like, monkey bar looking thingies.
Yeah.
I don't really know how to describe them.
It's like a scaffolding on wheels. Yeah.
Yeah. And Luke is standing with his back turned, and the whole stage is lit red. And Percy, everyone's down there sleeping. And... he's up there back turned and you just hear Kronos, and it's the coolest thing ever.
I like the usage of levels in this show.
They do a very great job.
Yes. So yeah, that happened before Triana Hill. So then after Triana Hill, there's a scene and then it transitions into DOA, right?
Yeah, there's like a heart to heart for a second.
Okay.
And then, yeah, it's getting on the elevator.
Yes.
And how did they die? We drowned in a bathtub. It was a big bathtub. DOA was my favorite moment.
Really?
Watching the show.
I don't like DOA.
Okay, but you want to know what happened when I saw it?
What?
So it was Jarrell's last night.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the line where he goes, "Do you have any Josh Groban?"
Yeah.
You know what he said?
What?
"Do you have any Chris McCarroll?"
I was hoping he would say George Salazar.
No, that would have been really funny. I was kind of waiting for that too, but he goes, "Do you have any Chris McCarroll?" And she looks at him, looks at Chris, and goes, "Not yet," or "We will soon." No, she goes, "We will soon."
I love that. Yeah. Wait, so you saw his last night?
I did see his last performance.
Ooh. I'm sure that was emotional during...
It was.
Ooh. Yeah. So yeah, DOA. I don't like DOA. It's a filler song.
It was very hype watching it, though.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. But yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't know why. I think I'm still stuck on In the Same Boat, though.
It is a great song.
Yeah. Anyway. So...
And then we're in the underworld.
We're in the underworld. Well, we were in the underworld for DOA.
What?
We were in the underworld for DOA, right?
We're getting there.
Okay, gotcha.
And then we get down there and there's DJ Cerberus.
With three heads.
Yeah.
I love the little boy puppets for the
Boys Choir.
Yes. I'm Spy Dry.
Their voices will never change now.
Like, and it just like takes a moment to be like, ooh. Ooh.
Oh no.
Oh, no.
Sad.
That's yeah.
I also love the dancing in it.
Yeah. So okay, we have DOA. And then we have the scene between them and Hades, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hades is so... Oh my gosh.
Oh? You're having a reaction.
He's so funny.
He was very funny. The actor that that plays Hades and Chiron and everything, I think he is so good. Mm-hmm. I immediately followed him on Instagram because I'm like, oh my goodness, you are so good.
Yeah. He stayed short. He's very chill, too.
Yeah. And I think he has a baby. Him and his wife.
Aww. Hold on.
And I think the baby's cute, because I remember stalking his Instagram after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think him as Hades is my favorite, or him as Poseidon. We haven't even talked about Poseidon.
Well, we haven't gotten to Poseidon yet, yeah. They have the scene. Yeah. And then they have the whole little scuffle, and then we go into Son of Poseidon.
Which is amazing.
Oh, that's a really good song, too. That might be my third favorite.
I honestly can't pick. I just know which ones I don't listen to often.
Yeah, I don't listen to DOA. I don't listen to Campfire.
I don't listen to Prologue.
Yeah. Which is sad, but whatever.
I mean, they're good. I just... would rather listen to My Grand Plan on repeat.
Which you do. Which you very much do. Yeah. So, we have Son of Poseidon, which leads us back to the beach.
Where?
We meet Hades. Hades, Ares, yep, thank you. And his...
One of the gods.
His rasp as Hades, as Ares. Ooh. Ooh, so good. I love... his rasp.
Mm-hmm.
So good. It's very rock and roll. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
They have the fight, and we get more toilet paper when you defeat...
So good.
Right into the audience. Another thing that I wanted to catch, I wanted a piece of the toilet paper.
Yeah, if I ever go, if it comes back, I'm getting, like, front row seats.
Oh, yeah. Like, I will do this. Because I was like, if I got a piece of toilet paper, I would have them sign it.
Mm-hmm. Would yeah, love that. That's what I said to my friend. I said, if I catch toilet paper, I'm bringing it out to Stage Door.
Yeah, of course. I would have them sign my book. I would have them sign the toilet paper. I would also have them sign our Demipod shirts, which are available now.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. I really regret not going again. I really regret it.
I really regret not driving to Boston.
Oh, no. Oh, well.
No money.
Yeah, I have no... We broke. After after we just talked on buying Dude Hank and John. But whatever, we're good.
Yeah, no, we're good.
Yeah. So, okay, we have that whole thing, which then leads into Poseidon.
The Poseidon and Sally interaction is hilarious.
I forgot about their interaction. I forgot that Sally comes back to there.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that, yeah.
And Poseidon in this show, I think, can you just tell everyone about Poseidon in this show?
He is like a bro dad.
He's a dude bro. Dude bro.
Yeah, why are you having me tell? I'm like the least dude bro.
No, I just feel like I've talked a lot.
Oh, gotcha. So he is very like, yeah, he's very dude bro. He's very surfer dude. My favorite is Clarice actor, so different actor for us, is the dolphin who brings him out.
Mm-hmm.
And wears the dolphin hat. Just a dolphin hat. It makes dolphin noises. My favorite. Yeah. So that happens. We get the interaction with Percy and Sally.
He's so cringy. He's literally the cringiest dude.
I wasn't too cringy about him. Like, I'm more cringy with Mr. D.
I just thought the signer was super cringy.
Okay, gotcha.
But in a good way.
Poseidon reminds me of an old youth pastor of mine.
Ooh, he has a very youth pastor vibe.
Yeah. He's like, hello, fellow kids. I'm cool.
Hello, you.
Hello, youth. It's okay. Then we have Last Days of Summer. Oh, that's a good song, too. Hold on.
That's such a good song. The Good Kid reprise?
Yeah. Though, okay.
Let me get back to camp.
Though, okay. I am mad because I think I've mentioned this on another podcast. Because during the school version of Last Day of Summer, Annabeth had a solo in it, in the show, in the song. She had... It's in the song still, but it's Percy sings it now. It's the what are the lyrics? It's like the second verse. Should I stay because it's safer? Back to the home I left behind I could train for a piece of action, but what about the peace of mind?
Annabeth sing that?
Yes,
bro.
Which makes a lot more sense, I think. And then Grover came in with the rest of with the chorus after that verse. So it was like the three of them, and I liked
that. I'm a little sad.
Yeah. And then we have Luke's part, which is, yeah, the Good Kid reprise.
Sorry, I do think it makes sense for Percy to sing it, because the way they stage it, like, she leaves and she goes, I guess we both have a choice to make.
Yeah. I just liked it because it was closer to the book where Annabeth was starting to kind of doubt whether or not she should go back home or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. Anyway, so we have the Good Kid reprise with Luke, which this is like a perfect, okay, talking about musical theater structure, this is a really good usage of reprises. So, musical theater history for you, Hannah.
Yes.
Reprises originally were made to just get a song stuck in your head so that you would buy the album. That was like the purpose of reprises. And you can see this a lot of classical musicals. However, as contemporary musical theater started kind of taking over, people started to use reprises to then turn like a double meaning, an example of this that you would probably know, in Heather's, the Shine a Light reprise. That's a really good usage of a reprise. This is a really good usage of a reprise.
A damn good usage of a reprise.
Yeah. So it's Luke singing Good Kid. And, like, I would listen, if this, the reprise, was its own song, that would be probably my favorite.
I feel like Luke getting a song would make my day.
Yeah. But no, it's really good. And of course it ends with him maiming Percy instead of bringing in a scorpion, but I'm fine with that, whatever.
I love when Annabeth puts herself in between them. It's really good. And the way the show ends just leaves you wanting more. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the moments where you're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Really? Okay.
Hold up.
Hold on. Because I actually feel the opposite.
Really?
Okay, so I'll talk about this because we're about to get into the ending with Bring on the Monsters, which is also another really good song. I think this show is a really, like, doesn't, even though it's the first story in a series of stories, it's a really good singular story by itself. And it doesn't leave me feeling like I want more. It doesn't leave me feeling unsatisfied because I know there's more. Like, yes, it leaves with like it ends with a cliffhanger of like he's gone and we're not gonna catch him. But like, Bring on the Monsters is this like big call to action for the audience that like, okay, it's nice and complete. It doesn't leave me wanting more. I'm satisfied. I'm good.
Yeah. So I get that too.
Yeah, I really like it. I love the Bring on the Monsters drama desk performance.
Bring on the Monsters is... I cry every time. It's just so empowering, too.
Yeah.
Real quick, I love the moment, the Stewie Brain wise girl moment.
Yes!
The best shippers out there.
So there was an applause to that when I just saw it.
Same.
Yeah. So everyone was like, I know it! It's there! Yeah.
Hey,
but no, bring in them.
Kids.
Yeah. And then that's the show.
Bring on the Monsters. So good.
It's such a good. Yeah, it's a really good. It's a really good ending song. And like, it also, because with a show, structurally, like, there has to be a reason why you're telling the story. And I feel like if I was watching it from a critical point of view, I would be like, okay. Throughout the show, I'm like, okay, like, this show doesn't really have that. It's a fun show, and it's a great story, but it doesn't have that. But then, when Bring on the Monsters happen, it's like, oh, there's the reason. Like, you have to go out and you have to face the monsters. Especially in this climate right now that we're living in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a really good, like, here's the moral of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I really like that.
Well, and I feel like, I don't know, it hits me really hard being at the age I am, where, like, I'm starting to be an adult.
Yeah.
And the real world is scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I feel like it's going to be empowering for everyone in a different way.
Yeah.
And it's just perfect. Because monsters in this is a metaphor, but also not.
Yeah.
But it could be a metaphor for all of us. Like, everyone has a monster they have to deal with, and you don't want to. They say there's going to be a fight. There still might be a war.
For the moment, we are.
Bring it on.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's really good. And it's just like, yeah, it doesn't leave you. Like, you can tell that this story is. Yeah, like I said, like, you can tell that there's more to the story, but it's just like a good bow at the end of it. And I like it. And it's. Utilizes my favorite musical theater song thing, which is like the rounds or like the layering of singers. I love that. It's one of my favorite things.
The song is just so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also,
breaking it down, I try to listen to a different part every time, and wow.
Yeah. I know, it's so good. So good. I want to direct it so bad. I want to direct it so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay, anyway, that's the show.
That's our musical episode.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's where we are.
We really talked about this musical for over an hour.
Almost 2 hours now, actually.
Oof.
Yeah, because when I went to go grab my sushi, our call was already at, like, 45 minutes. Granted, we talked a little bit before, but, like, I saw that after I hung up with you to grab my sushi, and I'm like, ooh, this is going to be a long episode. But we're making up for our absence, so, you know what?
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. Well, welcome back to the podcasting world, Hannah.
Yes, welcome back, Brayden. It's been a long time, and I missed it, and I'm really happy that I'm at a pod right now.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm definitely glad we decided not to also do four chapters on top of this.
I work really early tomorrow morning, so I'm also really glad that we did not do the four chapters with this.
Yeah. Okay, final thoughts on the show. Like, just, like, I'll give you a little bit of a challenge. So, final thoughts on the show, 5 words or less.
Okay, I feel like I have to write down my words so that I can count.
Okay. They don't have to be like a... What?
Can I do... Oh, you said or less?
Yeah. And they don't have to be like a complete sentence.
Must see childhood complete.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. I would say mine are...
Can I add a fifth word real quick?
Yeah.
It's just Kristen in all caps.
We love you, Kristen. Mine are, I think hodgepodge has to be one of them, like hyphen, right?
Okay.
Or it can be two words. I don't know. But I feel like that's like one of the concepts for the show when they were pitching the show was like hodgepodge.
Yes.
And it's so good, and I love the word. Hodgepodge. Rock and roll adventure.
That's three.
Adventure. So hodgepodge one, rock and roll adventure.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I wanted to quick just talk about how it was Gerald's last night.
Yeah.
Before we end it.
Okay.
So it was his last night. Very emotional. They all bowed. Everyone roared when he came out. And then his lovely castmates brought him a bouquet of chicken nuggets.
Aww.
And put a toilet paper stash around him.
I love that.
It was really sweet. And stage door. That happened.
Yes. How was your stage door?
So good.
Yeah.
So good. I do. There's so much. I feel like we almost wrapped up the podcast really good, and then I opened my mouth again.
Don't worry. I don't worry about it. I
was waiting for her to come out, and she didn't.
Ooh.
But that was a two-show day. She had two shows the following on Twitter. I think we retweeted it on the podcast account, and it's just like the Lightning Thief and Kristen both tweeted themselves. Lightning Thief really tweeted this whole thing in defense of Kristen, just like how she's the one who insisted she dyed her hair blonde. She did all these things, and she wrote an email back to the man saying, you know, I am under no obligation. I was very tired, and you are not setting a good example for your daughter. And also, stage door is not my job.
Exactly.
Like, it's not in her job. So I was really worried she wasn't going to come out.
Yeah.
But I understood, because it's not her obligation. She just did a show. She worked so hard.
The show is her job.
No reason to come out into the hot Florida weather.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the whole thing with Ben Platt during Dear Evan Hansen, how, like, he kind of... And this was right before I saw the show, so I was able to see him during stage door. But... he was like, the show takes priority, and when you are working like this, like, it's not, yes, like, the job isn't a 9-to-5, but it's still a lot, and you need to be able to rest, you need to be able to take care of yourself to still give every single audience the best show that you can.
Well, and I feel like people don't understand how demanding theater is.
Yeah.
And especially a show like The Lightning Thief, or even Dear Evan Hansen, where Dear Evan Hansen's so emotional.
Yeah.
And Lightning Thief is so energetic
that
it takes a lot out. But she did come out, and I took a picture with her. I told her that as an actress, she is my inspiration.
Aww.
And she's just the sweetest person ever. And I took a picture with her. It's everywhere.
Love that.
It was such a great moment. Jarrell came out. I didn't get a picture with him though because he was rushing.
Yeah,
understandably. Kristen took so much time to like meet with everyone individually though. Mm. I mean, and Jarrell did too. I just didn't want to ask him for a picture.
Yeah.
It's hot in Florida.
See, I had the opposite reaction thing because it was winter in Chicago, so it was cold.
Yeah.
No, I talked with Kristen, too. I told her, like, hey, I've been following the show since, like, the Theater Works days, where she, like, though I will admit my stage door time was kind of upstage because right next to me was this little child who was adorable. She was, like, probably 8 or something, and she made dolls of every character. So she was like handing them out, so like it was super cool because like every actor like took their time with this girl and like thanked her, but I'm like also I stood next to her, so like they immediately almost like passed me over because they felt like they were standing in one spot for too long. So I'm like, dang it, but I got them all to sign my playbill, so I was happy.
Yeah.
But like, and also, yeah, it's not no fault of them. They did spend a lot of time in that spot, so like, don't worry about it. Yes. The line was super long too.
I felt bad because I had a book and a playbill, and I didn't want them to feel like I was making them sign too many things. But they did. They signed both.
Yeah.
For me, it's so just I love him so much.
Yes.
I always thank everyone at Stage Door. I'm like, thank you so much. You are amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So,
no, it really.
Yeah, it was really, really great.
Oh, that was so good.
I miss it.
I know, I really wish I would have gone in St. Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
One day.
Oh, well, I'll do the show myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
The musical, I could talk all day.
Yeah. I really...
I'll probably think of things that I forgot to talk about, and I'll tweet them.
Oh, yeah. Or we'll just talk about them on later pods, too. Like we always do. We'll still talk about the musical during the regular pods, even though we've had a whole episode dedicated to the musical. Like, we're still going to talk about it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. All right. So,
well,
do you want to plug anything?
Yeah. So, we lost a follower while the show was going, so we're 2 away from 50. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our Twitter is at Demi Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's our Instagram as well.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah, Demi Podcast.
Go ahead and follow us. Give us a follow.
Yep. And if you want to follow us,
we need two.
Yeah. And if
please
you also
don't unfollow us.
Yeah, please don't. We'll just buy followers. It's fine.
Yeah.
Also, like, if you want to follow us individually, I'm mostly active on Instagram at Sunbraid and stuff. That's also my YouTube.
I'm Say Hannah Liz on everything.
Yeah. And yeah, our shirts are available now. Go grab our shirts.
Yes.
Link is in the Instagram bio, also in the Twitter bio, right?
For the t-shirts?
Yeah.
No, I can only link one thing, and it's the Spotify page.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Well, if you go into the Instagram, you'll be able to see the shirts.
Yes.
So yeah, go also get our shirts. They're super cool. And also follow us, and subscribe, because we're almost at 500 subscribers, and that's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we will be back for another regularly scheduled chapter book club.
If you would like to catch up with us, we'll be reading chapters 12 through 15.
Yes. Wait. Oh, didn't we do that last time?
Nope. Those are the ones we read and then didn't record.
Oh, gotcha. 12 to 15 of Lightning Thief. Yes.
Yep.
So, you're going to read along with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Yeah. Have a great quest.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
The theme music in this podcast is Take Me Higher by Jazzar and is licensed under an attribution share alike license. There's a link to the music in our show notes. This is a fan-created podcast. This podcast has no affiliation with Rick Riordan, Disney, or any of its affiliations.